Welcome everybody, and thank you for coming again. I guess last week wasn't that good because there's less people today. And I should start by saying that I wasn't very successful either, because Father did confess that he went home and ate half a box of Oreo cookies.
So, it was seven Oreos.
Or seven, sorry.
It was seven.
Seven. Half a box?
But I'm trying to be better.
And that's bad.
I'm sorry, I didn't know how many are in a box. I was just made that up.
I finished the box. Okay. Just to be clear.
So it was a whole box.
That's bad.
Okay, that's bad.
Okay. I ate Christmas.
So we're gonna get there to the Lenten food.
Lots of Oreos cookies.
All right, so I'm going to just pick up from where we left. Today is going to be more my element because it's about food. Last time was more about orthodoxy and healthy, and I try to be a priest, I guess, but this time I'll be a doctor. What to eat? I'm going to start by saying this is not my opinion. This is not my taste in food or anything like that. The whole talk is based on the studies that we have and available. And keep in mind, there is not. Oh my goodness!
My rear is too big.
Okay.
Those Oreos.
Maybe I should go on the other side.
We all have on recording.
How about I move here?
There you go.
Yeah. Better?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not. There are not a lot of studies as far as healthy food goes, because I think the food industry and pharma does not really, there has no interest in paying money to do this kind of studies. So whatever studies are done are international. There are other countries that are a little more interested in healthy foods than Americans. So we have a lot of studies from outside, then the studies that are in America are smaller, and maybe skewed to some degree.
And the amount of the food industry pays for studies telling you that foods are healthy.
Well, so I try to stay away from those studies. You know, I try to pick up the real studies that we can actually believe. And so everything that I'll say from now on is based on what I found, and not on my personal opinion. Eating healthy foods differ, and people should eat differently. There's no point for me to tell you that cauliflower is healthy if you're not going to love it and never going to eat it. So it's to some degree personal. So everybody should eat food based on their liking, but also based on what makes them feel good, except keeping in mind certain things, and this is what I'm going to go about. So I said last time, what to eat to be healthy, eat real food, not frankenfood. I think Tabitha knows that word. I guess I got it from somewhere online. So what is real food? The real food will come directly from Earth or lives on Earth and is prepared in your kitchen, not other kitchens or your friends. With friends and family around, usually that is a better food. If you have family and friends helping you cooking it and also eating it, it's going to be a healthier food for you for many reasons. And this is proven in studies. It's fresh. It should travel the least amount of time or distance from where it's sourced to your kitchen. And doesn't have a label. If there's a label on it, that means somebody needs to tell you what that is. And so that means it's not a real food. And put it easier for us to understand, if God's made it, it heals your body. But if it's man-made, it probably harms. In the lab, not in the kitchen. So a little bit from scriptures. Psalm 104 says, he made grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the human heart. I was going to bring wine, I forgot. Oil to make their faces shine and bread to sustain their hearts. So this is it, real food. If you go online, you're going to read a million gazillion advices. Like I said last time, there are very many diets out there. There are also a lot of advices. This is good. This is bad. You should buy this. You should buy the other. So eating has really become a rocket science these days. Most of my patients are confused. Oh, Josh, do you want to... We can scoot a little bit more.
Everyone else, scoot down this way. Just kind of...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go with that. So I'm here to tell you that eating healthy, good foods, for good in the sense that this food will heal your body or keep it healthy. It doesn't have to be a rocket science. It's not that hard. You don't have to write things down. You don't have to keep things memorized. This is pretty easy. So whole foods, not processed foods. Like people say, if grandma doesn't recognize it, it's probably not food. What do we mean by that? No package. Something that you look at it, you know what it is. That's basically all there is to it.
What are these?
What?
Oh, I'm just teasing.
Grandma didn't recognize it.
Breaking in half and you'll know what it is. No soda or fruit juices. This slide is the one that I want you to take home. This is the few things that if you don't remember anything from the talk, this should be what you should stand by. No soda or fruit juices from the store. I cannot emphasize this more than anything. I made a bet with a patient of mine to quit soda and juices for a month. And I told him that at the end of the month, if he has not lost 15 pounds, I'm going to quit my practicing medicine.
Yeah.
He lost 12 by the mid of the month, and so he decided he'll just keep doing it, and he felt so much better. But he completely, absolutely did not touch any of these.
May I ask a question? Is orange juice one exception or no?
Orange juice is not an exception.
Squeeze it yourself.
Yes, squeeze it yourself.
Yeah.
The reason is they add sugar. Mm-hmm. Not only mm-hmm. that they add a ton of sugar.
Orange juice? Yes.
This is why it's sweeter. Do your own squeezing in the house and then drink the other one. And if you do not notice a difference in sweetness...
And is pasteurization also takes...
There is a lot of other things. So. There is a lot of other things they do to that. I mean, I even wonder if it's any real orange in there.
They actually do something to it that makes it taste like nothing, and then they add these flavor packs.
They add flavor additives and so forth. And yes.
A lot of products say they contain so many percent fruit juice. But I read an article about one time. What they call fruit juice, they take grape juice, they denature it, so it's basically clear with no flavor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's extremely sweet.
Yes. Yeah.
Fructose. Yeah. Basically, it's liquid fructose.
Right.
It came originally from a grape, but they put that back in their bottled, beautiful purple beverage, and they say it's 80% fruit juice, but it's really just sugar water.
Yeah, so...
sitting in those plastic bottles.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with it. So bottom line, just don't not drink them, period. Just stick with water or make your own juices in your house or make your own flavor, whatever you want, and get a mineral water and put all kinds of things in it. If you really want soda, this is what I tell my patients to try and do. But there are a ton of studies out there now how unhealthy these things are. Mm-hmm. And also my personal experience, I mean, with my patients. And this is why I said that if it's one thing you're not going to do after this, I'll be happy. Yeah. Just this one thing.
In your opinion, is it okay to have carbonated soda water?
Not soda water, carbonated water, mineral water.
Okay.
That's just basically water with minerals. Hopefully,
bubbly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully, gas and water. Oh, air. Yeah.
Okay.
You can flavor that in your home with whatever else you want. Second stop, and I should have put this right here. No artificial sweetener. I should have put that right under that because. Yes, that is not any better. People have switched to diet products from real products in the hope that artificial sweeteners have no sugar and no calories, and so therefore they're good. They're extremely bad. There's a lot more studies coming out about the artificial sweeteners.
What about stevia, which is
stevia is not artificial. Yes, stevia is a natural. So far it's okay. I've not put anything about that because I have no study to back that up. So I can't really. I'm not going to talk about things that I think it's okay. I'm just talking about things I know they're not good. So artificial sweeteners. Because they're fake, they let's put it this way, the body doesn't recognize them and starts attacking them with a vengeance. And there's a cascade of hormones happening right behind that that keeps you hungry, makes you put on weight, and from there makes you have diabetes, makes you have lots of stomach problems, actually. There's a lot of bowel diseases from the artificial sweeteners. Migraine headaches, it's like very top on there, causing migraine headaches. And now some people even relate these to depression and all kinds of mental disorders out there to the artificial sweeteners. Oh, food dyes. I haven't gotten to that. There's a slide with that. So,
but if I remember correctly, like aspartame was originally created by, I think, Monsanto. And every time that information gets taken to Congress about the actual effect of the stuff in the human body, it gets shut down by the lobbyists. And now, of course, they've lost their patent on it. So everybody's making it.
Right.
The company that created it got bought by Monsanto.
Yeah.
Well, bottom line is just not good for you, so avoid it at all costs. So stop any diet products if you can. Just eat real sugar if you have to. It's way, way better. Cane sugar is natural at least. Stop cereal nonsense for the same reason. Cereal, there's absolutely nothing natural in there. Everything is artificial. Maybe for sugar.
They add vitamins.
Yeah, I'm going to come to added vitamins later on, but you know what? Just take a pill if you really want that and don't eat the cereal.
Do you know that Kellogg's is losing money big time? Because
yes.
People have stopped eating cereal.
I would ban them if I would be Trump, but I'm not so.
Mike Starter works for Kellogg's and they're going to layer off.
I love Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch, I'm sorry.
But I haven't had any for many, many years.
I'm really sorry. Fat is good. That's another nonsense that people have sold to,
what type of fat?
And I should have started with this. Don't expect from the medical professions, or even worse, from the federal FDA and whatever
USDA
and whatever you want out there to give you ideas about what you eat, because talking about doctors, there is zero training or schooling as far as diet goes. Zero. I've been in school for 20 years and I've learned about this on my own afterwards. So you can't believe anything anybody tells you, even if it's a medical profession, unless you know for sure they've had extra, you know, knowledge and training in this thing. And then as far as the government goes, we all know how that goes. And so I'll just say that. So fat is good. And I'll come back to that because I'll talk more about fat. And then animal produce, yes, it's fine. There's no study there saying that they're bad. There's studies that will say that if you have a diet very high in animal products, there's some heart disease associated, strokes, and so forth. But those studies were done with the animal products that are available on the market. So keep it in mind that that includes a lot of processed meats. So again, processed.
We don't have fish up there. Are wild-caught fish better than
I didn't put fish
raised?
Out there because I'm going to talk about each and one of them.
Okay.
And fish is considered fat.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So just
it's not meat.
Yes.
Sorry.
Cereal. Do you mean all processed grains?
I mean all cereal that comes in a box.
Breakfast cereal.
Yeah. No, breakfast cereal. I meant breakfast cereal. If I have a what?
I'm trying to get my dad.
Problem with grains.
Grains. No, I wasn't talking about grains. No, I'm talking about cereals in the box, breakfast cereals, that most of our next generation eats these days. So this is just we're talking about if you don't recognize it, don't eat it. Who can guess what this is?
Coffee cream?
Close. Yes. This is Coffee Mate.
Yeah.
It's right there on our in the basement, mm-hmm. on our coffee table.
Yeah,
I mean, would you eat this thing?
I would.
It's Lenten.
Do you, no, protein.
It's Lenten. Do you not think that each and everything of these things might actually cause some harm inside your body? It actually does.
Well, very similar.
The ingredients of your shampoo.
Very similar products are like almond milk
yes,
and soy
yeah,
milk.
This,
read
this,
what they're made out of.
This could be shampoo. You're right. I mean, you could wash with this.
Terrible.
So fun, maybe so. Just quick, maybe fun or not so fun facts. The lemonade is not made from lemons. It's actually made from petroleum. The one that's on the market. But the furniture polish is made from real lemons. That is true. This is the part about the artificial food dyes and flavors. It's in everything. This is why I say, I mean, you are not going to find a processed food out there that does not have one or two or three or more artificial either dyes or flavoring. And they're made from non-food chemicals. And why would you eat that? And it's so bad, and there's been so many studies, particularly about attention deficit disorders in kids, that in 2008, most of European countries have banned it. I put MSG there very small in the parentheses because that is a artificial flavor, basically. So MSG has, again, ton of studies behind it that how bad it is. It should be banned. I would make it illegal, really. MSG, I didn't put a special, it's so much to talk about this thing, so I try to keep it as small as possible. MSG, we use it in research to fatten the rats, so we can study obesity on them. So I'm serious, that's what we use. We feed them MSG's, food. So if we do that on rats, why would we feed it to people? I mean, it's like mind-blowing. I think this is a crime, really, against humanity, but I have no power.
And there's like dozens and dozens of names for MSG. If you look up the list,
there's
names of it that are hidden names.
Well, that was the point of that.
Oh.
That other, I mean, all those names are hidden names for basically artificial flavors or MSG or something like that. We use sugar for cancer detection. So, when I say sugar is not good, I mean this. Sugar promotes a lot of bad things. Cancer particularly loves sugar. So we use it for our PET scanning. When we try to see how many, cancer spots are in your body, that's what we use. We use sugar dye. And two funny part, the yogurt, some people consider that healthy food.
I love it.
Yogurt with, unless it's plain, the only one that's okay, yogurt with fruit or anything else in it has more sugar in it than the soda, which is bad, like I said earlier. And spaghetti sauce that you buy over the market also has more sugar than cookies. And there's sugar in salt. If you didn't know that, look on one of the boxes.
There's sugar in cigarettes.
Well, I guess that too.
I mean, not that those are good, but there's sugar
everywhere. I can make a suggestion about the yogurt. One thing might dislike is I get the plain yogurt.
Yeah, and put
I mix it either honey or maple syrup and some vanilla.
Yeah, so, I mean, plain yogurt, that's all fine, but the other ones all have sugar added to it. The studies across the border, there's only one agreement that fruits and vegetables are essential. Every diet that you're going to read out there, you're going to find that they're all agreeing on this. So I did not come up around anything bad about fruits or vegetables. Mm-hmm. So if you do your own research, I mean, it will be really hard to find something that's really bad. So this is a nutritional agreement across the border. Eat as many fruits and vegetables as you can because they have anti-inflammatory properties, detoxifying the phytonutrients, I mean nutrients, vitamins, minerals. We need about 50 grams of fiber per day. Americans eat on average 10, maybe.
Whoa.
And
starting with the Miralax.
and that's usually I was gonna say, and that's usually either Miralax or it's a salad. No, it's iceberg salad.
Yeah.
Kids these days, I put it here under plants and vegetables because I saw a quick little video about kindergartners. When they're asking them, what is this? What is this? What is this? You know, about all fruits and vegetables, and they all just
didn't know.
Absolutely quiet. I mean, they knew apple and maybe one more other things, but it was appalling how bad they got. And the teacher asked them, the same kids, where do eggs come from? And they said, from Eggland. So, I mean, none of the kindergarten kids said
hen
or chicken, yeah. Which is, again, mind-blowing. This is the future generation. It's scary. So then going back to Genesis, God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole world. Earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. This will be yours for food. So going back to our scripture, this is what we should be mainly eating. And you have to think there's such a variety of grains, fruits, vegetables. There's a humongous variety of them. So there's a reason behind that. So we can all, you know, find one or two that we like in all those. So I'm going to make from here my talk based on the three main categories that we eat. Our food has been split by nutritionists or researchers in three main categories: protein, lipids, and carbohydrate. I said in my last week talk that this has been a mistake. We should never think this way because our food is a complex food. It works together. The lipids and fats and the lipids and protein and carbohydrates actually interact with each other and cause different reactions in our bodies if they're eaten together in a certain way. And so taking them one by one is really not the way to do it. But for the sake of talk, I'll do the same thing. The protein, lipids, and carbohydrate are our main ingredients. The body takes the food and uses part of it, transforming it into energy, fuel, for everything we need to do, and then deposits the rest as fat. So if you eat protein, you're going to end up with fat. If you eat carbohydrates, you're going to end up with fat. And if you eat lipids or fat, you're going to end up with fat. So either way, if you eat more than you need, you're going to end up with stored fat. So to make it easier, this is the three: fat, protein, and carbohydrate. That's how people recognize them. Protein is meat and carbohydrates is is bread. And so everything that research have done is just to shift the, you know, like more of this, less of that, more of that, less of that. But in the end, that's not as easy as it sounds. So carbohydrates, let's start with the bad.
Yes.
There's a lot of things out there saying that every carb is a bad carb. I said maybe. That's actually not true. I did not find a lot of studies to show one way or the other. There are certain carbs that are bad. There are also some that are good. So there's simple and complex carbohydrates. So simple, sugar, and flour. And then complex means you take the sugar and flour and just, you know, make it in other things, or they have different forms of sugar and flour in them. So they're harder for the body to break down. Why is that important? If you eat pure sugar or pure flour, as soon as you eat it, your sugar level in your blood is going to go through the roof. Because they're simple. They're already available. There's nothing to break down. Immediately just goes into your system and it raises your sugar up. And so immediately your body will dump the insulin, the hormone that helps us bring that sugar down in very high levels. Now, the bad thing about this is insulin is our main hormone that tells us that we're hungry. So the more of insulin you have, the hungrier you're going to feel all the time. Mm. Insulin is the hormone that promotes plaque forming on our blood vessels. So it's the promoter for heart disease, heart attack, strokes, and so forth. So the more of that you have, the more likely you'll get these things. And it also promotes fat storing. So obesity and, you know, and so forth. So insulin is bad if it's in high levels. So we need to try to keep this hormone. This is, I read one book where it was considered one of the apocalypse hormones. There's four in our body, and this was one of them, the four horses, right? So we should keep this as low as possible. And the only way we keep this low is by eating zero simple sugars or carbohydrates. So sugar and flour, they're not good. We do want to eat complex carbohydrates, the one that takes longer to break down, because then the body works at breaking these things down, so your sugar will slowly raise in your system. Yes?
What does insulin resistance mean? I've read about that,
so, term. So insulin resistance means exactly this, because this is what type 2 diabetes is, right? It means this: you eat so much simple sugars, and your insulin level goes up and up and up and up and up, that there's an overflow of insulin in your body. Okay. So much that the body is not able to use it and utilize it anymore. So the cells become, they close up to the insulin. So you have a ton following, in, you know, floating in your body, but it's not doing its job, which is to break it and bring the sugar down. So then type 2 diabetes happens. Okay. So the complex carbohydrates, though, because they're slower, they'll raise your insulin to some degree, but not very high. And so this is why they're better for you.
Vegetables,
it's a complex carb. Even grains, certain grains, all grains that, whole grains that have not only the middle sugar in them, but they actually have the whole grain in there that contains fiber, contains...
like so, boiled wheat and cauliflower.
Right, like that. Like cauliflower, yes. Because it should be made with an all grain. So anything, any sugar that's packaged in such a way that has other things in it, you know, fiber or usually fiber, but, you know, it could be other things, protein and fat, and then that one is harder to break down. There's a study, this was really interesting, that one can of soda per day, you would think it's one can, increases the childhood risk for obesity by 60% and diabetes by 80%. By the time they reach adulthood. So I hear a lot of parents, because I see, you know, adults saying, one can, you know, that's not going to be that much. I mean, it makes a huge difference, as we can see here. So I was surprised at that study. I thought the percentage would be a lot less. By the way, insulin, high insulin levels, it also seems to be linked now with Alzheimer's dementia. So they think that might be a reason why it's on the rise, because Alzheimer's dementia is on the rise quite a bit. They for the longest they thought it's because we live longer. That's actually not true. So there's a ton of populations that live very long, and their Alzheimer's prevalence is minimal.
Are we seeing more early onset Alzheimer's?
Early onsets too. Yeah. So the sugar consumption, I just put it here to show you how it keeps going up, and it's ending in 2000, so we're in 2015. It just keeps going higher. It doesn't go any lower. So I don't know. This is what I said earlier about simple and complex carbs. I just put this slide here because you will read a lot about, and people do ask me, what is glycemic index? What is glycemic load? How important it is for us to know this? Not very, really. If you just keep it in mind, that simple is sugar and flour and everything else is complex, then that's kind of easy to understand. But glycemic index means how quickly the carb that you ate will raise your sugar level and therefore your insulin level. And glycemic load looks not only at how fast, but also how high the carbohydrate amount is in that food. There are a lot of studies that have shown over and over again that there's a clear relationship between the high glycemic index or glycemic load and development of all the chronic diseases.
And the ratio between autism and diet?
And diet?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly what I said earlier with artificial with the sugar. Uh-huh. not with the sugar, but with the mainly with the artificial sweeteners and the artificial flavors and dyes and the colorant. The color
I'm autistic, and I know aspartame is the worst thing for my brain. Like, I had it once after I went off it, and I felt terrible. I had an anxiety attack.
Yeah. Some people have also reported good that
because I've actually had
dairy-free diets.
I don't use any artificial sweetener. Many years ago, I bought a package of artificially sweetened lemonade mix. Mm-hmm. And I was mowing the grass, and I was just really hot, and I was drinking this lemonade. All of a sudden, I was just like, I was almost crying. I felt so bad, and I just sat there sitting on the porch, just like, what is the matter with me? Yeah. Just incredible fit of terrible depression. And it went away after, you know, a day. And then I washed it. Every time I drank that lemonade, but that
happened again.
It just is like it triggered this.
So it has something in there that triggers it.
Same
thing with coffee. So be aware that sugar has 257 names out there. So just pick and choose. I just threw some there. But there's so many, and so that's only because the food industry is just trying to fool us over and over and over again. So
honey is unhealthy?
Honey is a fast sugar. So I'm not saying it's necessarily unhealthy. I'm saying just keep in mind it has a high glycemic index, so you have to eat very little of it. You can't eat the whole thing.
Why are some of them starred and some of them not starred?
Most of them are star. Some are fake, so you know, like some are from actual from actual natural product made, and some are just fake altogether.
And the stars are natural, but, and not star.
Yeah, I copied it from somewhere, so I just left the star there. Like turbinado sugar, you know.
Is it okay to have a little bit of like honey or coconut sugar in moderation?
So carbs, like I said, they're not bad in themselves. You just have to remember that the ones that are plain sugar, and honey is plain sugar basically, will raise you really fast. So you should keep it small, you know, just eat a little bit. Now, how much is that? I can't tell you because there's no study about that. But bottom line is this, limit your carbohydrates and eat them together with other foods, particularly fat and protein. So keep them together because if you do that, they won't spike this insulin, right? So if you mix your carbohydrates with other food, particularly the fat and protein, then the body will have a harder time breaking it down. So your glycemic, you know, level will just kind of not shoot through the roof. But if you eat just the carb, like the cereal in the morning, what's going to happen? I mean, you're not putting anything else. Some people do put milk, but usually non-fat or low-fat milk, which basically has only sugar in it, nothing else. So you eat sugar with sugar and some more sugar. That's all you eat at breakfast. This is really the worst thing you can do. So sugar and flour of all kinds, limit those. Like I said, they're simple sugars and so simple carbohydrates, so keep it small. Limit high carbs, fruits and veggies, and usually these means potatoes. Usually the roots have a lot of, if they're sweet, they're sugar. You'll know that. Mm-hmm. So potato, carrots, squash, beets, corn. The rule of thumb. Us as physicians, we have it's a quarter cup. If you keep it that way, it's probably enough.
A day,
per meal, yeah, and always combine it with fat and protein. Mm-hmm. So that way you're good. Same thing about grains. I mean, rice, quinoa, buckwheat, whatever grain you like, just keep it small. Same thing, a quarter cup, a third cup. Beans, lentils, chickpeas in moderation. They're all high in carbs. This is why I put them there. And this brings me to gluten-free. And there's a huge talk about gluten out there, right? I mean, yes. I can't emphasize this. I'm going to say just this. I have one more slide coming about gluten after this. But across the border, you read and the studies show over and over again that there's two big problems out there, gluten and casein. or casein, which is in milk or dairy products. These two are highly inflammatory. When people eat these, for some reason, this gluten that we have available these days, and the casein in the milk, and I'll get to that why it is, body doesn't recognize them. Not as food. It's just not food. And so it starts attacking it, and it makes antibodies against it, and then from there, the whole inflammation happens, and then from there, you name it. Anything that's based on inflammation, as far as diseases go, will happen. So that's pretty much everything that's not an acute disease. So why is this happening? Just daily bread. It says in the Bible we should eat bread. Well, I just put that psalm there that said bread is good for you. But the bread of today has nothing to do with the bread of the biblical times. That's mainly because the grain has been genetically modified. And I thought that was interesting. When they genetically modified the wheat, they took DNA from different plants, and they kind of altered this wheat DNA to grow faster and higher in sugar, basically, higher in carbohydrates and higher in gluten. And the gluten is a different kind, too. And it says in the Bible, and I didn't put this code there because I forgot where, particularly says, do not cross plants. There's a saying, and I'll come up with that, where it says, do not cross-contaminate, basically, a seed with another seed or a plant with another plant. Huh. So we actually have the instruction in there. We just don't follow. Mm-hmm. The guy that made this wheat is now the winner of the Nobel Prize.
Okay.
Because he fed the whole
world.
But unfortunately, now we see what the repercussions are. So this is why bread is bad these days. That's the only reason. But if you manage to find a whole wheat, and you just not, and the bread is made this day, by the way, not only that the wheat is bad, because it's genetically modified, it's also not the whole wheat that the bread is made on the market is made from. They take everything and they just they take the fiber, the nutrients, the vitamins away. They wash them off, and you're left with like just a small seed in the middle that has just the gluten and the sugar, and that's what the bread is made from. So really, it's just the worst of the worst in the bread that you buy. And I said, no, whole grain gluten-free is not much better. Keep in mind that most of the bread that has this label in the stores, all they need is to have a very small percentage of whole grain flour in that, and then the rest is still the sugar and everything else that they use.
And most packaged gluten-free products are just filled with rice, right. Tapioca. It's all simple
sugar,
starches.
Simple starches. Yeah, that's why I said it's not much better. So that's about bread. So I guess the best idea is either avoid it or keep it in moderation or make your whole grain flour and eat your whole grain flour bread that you make in the house. Yes.
Well, I just a question. You said limit carbs, but what else do we eat during Lent? Do we eat a bunch of beans and a little bit of rice instead of the other way around?
Well, if we make it to there, I have a couple of slides about fasting and Lent, because it's not that. It's you can actually eat.
I'm supposed to start in 3 minutes. I'm gonna just do a memory of Charles tonight. I really want us to hear this. This is really interesting.
Well, you know what? So maybe we should make another class because I still have a lot to go. I probably went pretty...
Do you want to talk for another 5 minutes or so? And then
5 minutes and then we'll make another class.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I still... And fasting is really a good thing, you know, because I do want to talk about that, our Lent. Fasting and Lent.
Good.
I have no flour or sugar in my house and I keep Lent. It's possible.
You make it for the Prospero.
I have flour. I have flour for the Prospera.
You made this.
The phyllo dough, and again, that's in moderation, right? But and you combine it with other things. But yes, the food mainly we should eat in Lent is vegetables, and that contains carbs and contains, and there are fat, good fats. They come from vegetables usually. I'll start a little bit on fat. The facts on fat in 19. 60, actually, not 80, but they in 1960, they came up with this idea that fat is bad. There are studies that show that fat will affect the deposits on your blood vessel, gives you stroke, heart attacks, so it's not good. So then, of course, the market followed and made up all these low-fat products in about 1980s. Has been a big push for that. And since then, the diabetes has increased 7 times, and the obesity has doubled in adults and tripled in children. Also, there's been a dramatic increase in heart disease, cancer, dementia, infertility, attention deficit disorder. I said, trust the cows, not the scientists. Butter is better. Why is this important? Our brain fat is very important for mental diseases because our brain is about 60% fat. Also, every cell in our body has a fat layer. And in order for foods to go through this layer to get inside the cell, it needs to have some affinity to that fat layer that we have around our cell. If there's no fat in our food, that's not going to happen. So our cells, particularly our brain cells, will not get nutrition. And this is why they think such a big increase of all the mental diseases, bipolar, schizophrenia, depression. There's been a surge of that ever since the low-fat products out there. So fat is very important. Its calories double than the protein and carbohydrates. So you can achieve with 1 gram of fat what you can achieve with 2 grams of protein. So it's very important as far as energy. It's one of the most powerful anti-inflammatory that we have. It's fat. People will talk a lot about fruits and vegetables, they're antioxidants, you live longer, but actually fat is what protects us from being sick. It's like I said, it's essential to for our bowel to import the food from the inside inside the blood, and also it's very important to take out all the toxins from our body. If we have a low fat diet, our toxins tend to stay longer in our blood system. And of course, that's not good for us. That's just a slide that... This is 1976, low-fat guidelines came out, and this is what happened with the obesity.
Well, you know, one of the reasons is they replaced the fat in prepared food with sugar.
Pretty much, yeah, with sugar.
It's a humectant, so, it makes it soft. And
yeah, when you take the fat away, what do you put in place? Sugar. So yeah. Here's more sugar in there. That's absolutely true. Do you want me to stop here? Or?
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Yep.
Dr. Leah, thank you so much. We're looking forward to part 3 next week.